It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
The sand in the hourglass continues to rapidly run down in regard to our current paradigm. And even now, how many are willing to look past the orchestrated theater of mass distraction in order to see the wider horizon? Question: how many Americans are willfully blind followers of the official propaganda? It's not just Americans. It's other countries, other populations. First world populations most especially. How many gladly take their daily dose of deception from the ever more out of control power structure that has long since completely controlled our so-called government? And to be clear, I'm referring to all sides of the completely orchestrated political theater of idiocy and insanity. Those that are still caught up in the power structure scripted political circus are unfortunately blind to the bigger picture of existential threats that are so rapidly closing in on us all. How many choose to deny the very evident and unpleasant truths because they have found some official source to tell them that the unpleasant truth is just a hoax or, quote, a conspiracy theory? How well the power structure and their media prostitute lapdogs have played that game to officially reassure populations that any unpleasant or unwanted news or report was just a hoax or a conspiracy theory. How many examples of this do we have? Here's a few, just reminder examples. The Kennedy assassination, which we still don't know anything about because records were not released, but on that particular scenario, I was 8 years old. I remember very distinctly seeing the film. This was 8 years after the assassination. But I remember seeing the film and seeing Kennedy's head fly backward and asking my parents how he could have been shot from behind and his head flew backward. And they assured me of the official story, which never made sense to me and is obviously wrong. And there's so much to hide. And why are so many still afraid to face that glaring truth? There's the 9/11 false flag event that was clearly a demolition of the World Trade Center high-rise buildings. Three buildings, not two, but three. And how many still don't know that a third building, Building 7, 47-story steel structure high-rise building, collapsed at free fall speed, 7 seconds, keeping in mind that no high-rise building in the history of high-rise buildings ever collapsed from fire until that day, and three collapsed that day. And for those that don't know, the World Trade Tower centers were designed to take multiple impacts from a fully loaded 707 without collapsing. Yet they fell to the ground at blinding speed with 3,000 architects and engineers, over 3,000 world experts, stating on the record the official story is a lie. How many Americans care? Even Americans who live in New York don't seem to care. To question the official narrative of lies is somehow not allowed. Then we have Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, which never existed. The official lie that vaccines are safe, which peer-reviewed studies now prove is false. The blatantly obvious, undeniable, ongoing climate engineering insanity, which official sources, of course, tell us is just a conspiracy theory and a hoax. So here's the bottom line. Denial of a news report because official disinformation sites and sources say it isn't so is a mistake. We must think for ourselves. We must connect the dots for ourselves. Again, a recap of some of the most glaring and dangerous official lies, with a few additions. Again, that vaccines are safe, a scientifically verifiable lie. That fluoridated water is safe and beneficial, a scientifically verifiable lie. GMO foods are safe, a verified lie. Chemicals like Roundup are safe. A verified lie. Radio frequency communication signals are safe. Verifiable lie. 5G is safe. An even bigger lie in the case of 5G. That's a bigger lie than that of lower frequencies being safe. It gets worse and worse and worse. This is scientifically indisputable, that people seem to care more again about faster internet speeds than they do their own health, the health of their children, and the survival of the biosphere in which all of our lives depend. And, of course, there is the lie that climate engineering is not actually occurring, which we can see with our own eyes. But we are told to ignore what we see, we're told to ignore our sense of reason, and we're told to believe the official lie. These are only a few examples. But the bottom line is this. How many are still trying to convince themselves that their government would never do anything to harm them? How many actually still believe this? Consider this recent on-the-record statement from AAPS, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Listen carefully. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, AAPS, strongly opposes federal interference in medical decisions, including mandated vaccines. After being fully informed of the risks and benefits of a medical procedure, patients have the right to reject or accept that procedure. The regulation of medical practice is a state function, not a federal one. Governments' preemption of patients or patients' decisions about accepting drugs or other medical interventions is a serious intrusion into the individual liberty, autonomy, and parental decisions about child rearing. Listen carefully. Official sources have stated that a public health threat is the rationale for the policy on mandatory vaccines. But the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons says this: how much of a threat is required to justify forcing people to accept government-imposed risks? That's a police state. And we're talking about risks that are real and verifiable. In the case of vaccinations, you cannot inject neurotoxins into the human body without causing harm, period, end of story. Please investigate this issue. Please look up, investigate what's happening over your head, something we cannot hide from. We cannot hide from what's coming down through the air column. Toxic heavy metals and chemicals, metals like aluminum. I've been over this in broadcast after broadcast after broadcast. But what will it take for people to accept that we all have a responsibility in what's occurring around us? We can't leave it up to someone somewhere to take care of it. That's not happening. Quite the opposite. In regards to what happens when everyone chooses to ignore, when the majority, I should say, choose to ignore their responsibility to make sure that those in power don't go completely off the edge. This is what happens in the fascist government that we now have. Amazon removes anti-vaccine content after CNN Business Report. Amazon has apparently started removing anti-vaccine documentaries. BuzzFeed News was first to report that Vax was no longer available. Another headline, Vaxed pulled from Amazon. The pro-pharma industry has won a significant victory against safer vaccine and health freedom following Republican Adam Schiff's letter to Google and Facebook. Think about this. When those in our criminal power structure with their vested interests, which are not about the greater good, simply lean on their corporate partners to tighten up the noose around the rest of our necks, that's what happens. The noose gets tightened. From forced vaccinations to illegal climate engineering operations that are contaminating the entire planet, disrupting weather patterns, that are responsible for countless mortalities around the globe. We could never quantify. In the case of climate engineering, for example, we could never begin to quantify how many it is already responsible for killing, from respiratory ailments to the weather cataclysms. And I'm not stating that nature doesn't create weather cataclysms. I'm not saying that. But once you intervene with the climate system, at any level, you disrupt the whole system. When you intervene on a global scale with countries around the globe participating, there is no natural system left. None. And that's the arrogance of those in power, to not only dictate what we do with our own bodies and what we are forced to absorb in our own bodies with forced vaccinations, but to play God with the weather. Looking at satellite imagery at geoengineeringwatch.org, which I look at every single day from around the globe, we can see nothing that would resemble a natural weather pattern, weather system, low and high pressure formations, nothing natural. All is tainted. All is tainted. We are in completely uncharted territory. And we can only expect horrific consequences from what governments around the globe have done without the knowledge or consent of their populations. Stay tuned for the latest breaking headlines from the front lines. What is the current state of the biosphere? And will the planet's rapidly unraveling life support systems push global power structures to carry out unimaginably desperate acts? And all the while, the power structure's political theater of the absurd carries on, with the coming elections yet again eclipsing the fact that we are all passengers on a rapidly sinking ship, a dying planet. And for the record, it is not my opinion. That's a statistical fact, a mathematical fact, for any that are willing to look at the data. To all those that are continuing to do their best to sound the alarm, to wake others, and to try to alter our current course, as always, I wish to express to you my deepest and most sincere gratitude. It is our combined efforts that can yet make a difference, but we must make every day count. Breaking headlines in a moment. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 187 for March 9th, 2019. This is a commercial-free frontline news broadcast that is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7, and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're aware of any radio station that may be willing to pick up the commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, please let us know. We'll gladly provide the downloads of our broadcast to other stations for free. Our only goal is to sound the alarm while it can still make a difference. Final few announcements. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Jim Fair events this week, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. You can search their homepage for future events, but this week's event, Pleasanton, California, March 8th through March 10th at the Alameda County Fairgrounds. Reno, Nevada next week, March 15th through March 17th, Reno Sparks Livestock Events Center. Why is this event important? Why is this group important? Because they're an incredibly dedicated ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. At every Jim Fair event, there is a geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth stocked with materials. You can get into the events free. If you stay at the ticket booth, you're there to pick up these materials to help us to sound the alarm. Please show your support for Jim Fair. If you're near these events, show up, get materials, which are, by the way, exponentially more effective at waking those around you. Much, much more effective. I hear from so many people that struggle with waking up their families and friends because their approach is to point at the sky and go into a long rant. And that doesn't help to wake others. It shuts them down. If you pass on credible data and express that this is an issue that has grave implications for all of us, that works much more effectively. Consider that. On to breaking news. How many are still telling themselves that the economy is what matters most? How many are still trying to convince themselves that an expanding economy will somehow make America, quote, great again, even as the biosphere collapses from every imaginable direction? Final question. How much can an economy matter when the planet's life support systems are failing? First, let's look at headlines. How is the economy doing, really? Here's a few headline examples from last week. GM's Lordstown factory goes dark as automaker idles underused plants. Another headline. Dollar Tree to close 390 Family Dollar stores. Reports $2.3 billion loss. Another headline, Tesla cutting more jobs at Fremont factory. Another headline, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, private companies cut jobs at fastest pace in a decade. Apparently having all that oil isn't the bottom line, is it? Another headline, auto industry woes force bearings maker Schaeffler to cut jobs, shares slump. Little footnote on that headline. German bearings maker Schaeffler said it would cut 900 jobs, shut plants, and reduce its product range after its 2018 earnings slumped due to weak demand in Europe and China, and it warned of a challenging few years ahead for the auto sector. It's not a few years ahead. It's not a bump in the road. It's the end of the road. The current paradigm is done. It was never sustainable, and we are about to face that reality to a degree that few can yet imagine. Another headline. Hyundai may suspend production at one of its Chinese plants as slowdown bites. Another headline. 76,835 job cuts in February, most in over 3.5 years. Retail leads the cuts. Let's stop there for a moment to assess some basics about the horizon, about what we face. It's imperative to remember and consider that biosphere collapse translates to certain impending economic collapse. With that in mind, how is the military-industrial complex faring through the rapidly accelerating and soon impossible-to-hide global economic unraveling? Our government and the military-industrial complex is staying quite busy, focusing on the toppling of one country after another, on making bombs and munitions. The United States of America has become the global weapons dealer for weapons of mass destruction. It's not okay for anybody else to have a weapon. It has to come from us. We have to sell it to them. Even if it's Saudi Arabia, the brutal dictatorship. And we can't jeopardize those weapon sales, can we? No matter what these countries do, no matter how tyrannical they are. That's what our country has become. That's how the world sees us, rightfully so. And I'm not in condemning what our country and our military, again, bigger than the next 10 militaries combined, and that corruption is directly proportionate to the size of the military involved. But to criticize our military is not in any way to condone other countries or other militaries. Please don't think dichotomously. It's simply to state a fact. And how can we criticize anyone else when our country is doing what it's doing? In addition to toppling countries, the latest of which is Venezuela, and we all know that's happening. There's no rationally denying that. When we have people like John Bolton stating on the record that the takeover of Venezuela would be good for U.S. companies, that's what it's about. It's what it's always been about. It's not about freedom and democracy. Please get past that. Please look at reality. What else is our government doing to keep busy on other fronts, even while countless companies are cutting back? Here's this headline from the AmericanConservative.com and other sources. This report of yet another form of government tyranny. How genetics companies hand over your DNA to the FBI. Companies like FamilyTree claim to chart your ancestry, but are secretly in collaboration with the government. The act of checking your DNA seems innocent enough. You swab the inside of your cheek with a Q-tip and send it to a company in the hope of learning more about your ancestry or your predisposition towards certain diseases. But those companies may also be sharing your personal DNA with law enforcement, even if you're not suspected or involved in any crime, and even if the company's terms don't bother to warn you. FamilyTree DNA recently apologized for not telling customers about their agreement with the Federal Bureau of Investigation to grant the agency access to all its customer database. Imagine that. In the land of the free and the home of the brave. GeoengineeringWatch.org. I want to state this because this is something we all need to consider every day. We're hearing from an ever-increasing amount of people, diverse people from different regions of the world that are sick and with generally declining health, so much of which is respiratorily related. With this in mind, consider and remember that covert global climate engineering operations are raining down tens of millions of tons of highly toxic fallout through our breathable air column. Each and every one of us, along with the entire web of life, are absorbing this toxic fallout. With all this in mind, now consider this new headline report from RollingStone.com. quote, devil's bargain, why aerosols pose a deadly climate change threat. Aerosols are the tiny particles that are suspended in the atmosphere that we are all breathing. Back to the health issues I just went over, and that I went over in the beginning of this broadcast, that we can try to hide from vaccines, but we have to breathe, don't we? And if our government is spraying things into the air that's on top of pollution, not denying pollution at all, not denying those aerosols, but when we have solar radiation management programs, the intentional spraying of light scattering toxic particles into the atmosphere for the manipulation of the climate system, this is their attempt to mask the severity of biosphere implosion by reflecting some of the sun's daytime thermal energy, which is doing unimaginable harm to the planet. All these aerosols, all these sprayed particles, and by the climate engineers' own stated goals, like Dr. David Keith from Harvard University, to put 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually, all of which rains down through the air column, all of which we get to breathe. So back to this Rolling Stones article talking about aerosols. And unfortunately, Rolling Stone, not surprisingly, says nothing about climate engineering, nothing about the climate engineering elephant in the sky, and that being the single greatest source of highly toxic atmospheric aerosols. But with that in mind, with that disclaimer in mind, follow me through with this story from the Rolling Stones. It says this, and this is a covert way to sell climate engineering, by the way, and to blame all the toxic atmospheric aerosols on other forms of human activity. But here's the story from Rolling Stones. It says, we already have planet cooling technology. The problem is it's killing us. The report goes on. An array of sci-fi movies these days, from Snowpiercer to Geostorm, show that our failure to tackle climate change will eventually force us to deploy an arsenal of unproven technologies to save the planet. Think sun-deflecting space mirrors or chemically altered clouds. Second statement is the most important, obviously. They try to mask that with some sci-fi statement like space mirrors. That's obviously not a reality. Report continues, and because of these sci-fi movies, it's assumed that these grand experiments in geoengineering will go horribly wrong. It's already reality, by the way. Continuing from the Rolling Stone report, the fiction, new evidence suggests, may be much closer to reality than we thought. When most people hear, quote, climate change, they think of greenhouse gases overheating the planet, but there's another product of industry that's changing the climate that has received scant public attention. Aerosols. The report explains that aerosols are microscopic particles of pollution that on balance reflect sunlight back to space and help cool the planet down, providing a crucial counterweight to greenhouse-powered global warming. Can you see the covert selling of climate engineering in this article? That no acknowledgement of the jet aircraft we can see spraying particles into the atmosphere that, yes, can deflect some of the daytime heating from the sun, but at what cost? At what cost? None of which is mentioned here. All those particles rain down through the air column again, just went through all that, but they also trap more heat than they deflect. They destroy the ozone layer. They disrupt the hydrological cycle. They further fuel the epic wildfires that we see happening all over the globe. None of this reflected in a publication like Rolling Stone or any other mainstream publication. They're not going to address this. But follow me through with this report. If you look through the insinuations, if you read between the lines, it's not hard to connect these dots. Report continues, an effort to co-opt this natural cooling ability of aerosols has long been considered a potential last-ditch desperate shot at slowing down global warming. The promise of planet cooling technology has also been touted by techno-optimists, Silicon Valley types, and politicians who aren't keen on the government doing anything to curb emissions. Quote, geoengineering holds forth the promise of addressing global warming concerns for just a few billion dollars a year, end quote, wrote Newt Gingrich in an attack on proposed cap and trade legislation back in 2008. Let me stop there for a moment. What has Geoengineering Watch stated as a rational conclusion on the record since the inception of our website? The climate engineering was fully deployed immediately after World War II, not for the common good, but to mask the severity of what was happening on our planet, to use weather as a weapon, to keep business as usual for the military-industrial complex at any cost to the planet and its populations. The military-industrial complex does not care about the consequences of what it does. And when we have somebody like Newt Gingrich, who out of one side of his mouth denies that there's anything even wrong with the climate, and on the other side states that geoengineering, quote, holds forth the promise of addressing global warming concerns for just a few billion dollars a year, isn't that a contradiction? Don't we have the same thing coming from others in elected offices right now that claim there's nothing wrong with the climate, but geoengineering is a great idea and we should do it? This is a means of wielding power. That's all. That's all geoengineering has ever been about. It's not about the greater good. And when we have environmental organizations and science entities like the IPCC, the largest scientific panel ever assembled on any subject in human history, still pretending that if the climate implosion gets too bad, and it already is too bad right now, for the record, that we can deploy climate engineering as if it hasn't already been going on for 70 years with cataclysmic results. We live in an asylum. The largest science institutions in the world, the largest science panels in the world, again like the IPCC, pretending that this elephant in the sky of climate engineering isn't going on. And the Rolling Stone perpetuating that lie by covertly selling climate engineering. On that note, let's continue with this Rolling Stone report. It says this, but there's a catch. Our surplus of aerosols, i.e. the fine particles suspended in the sky, climate engineering's single greatest source of toxic atmospheric aerosols. The report states, our surplus of aerosols is a huge problem for those of us who like to breathe air. Well, that's true, isn't it? At high concentrations, these tiny particles are one of the deadliest substances in existence, burrowing deep into our bodies where they can damage heart and lungs and everything else, by the way. This report does not say that. I'm saying that. They damage everything. The list of diseases associated with the types of particles that we are inhaling with every breath is endless for all practical purposes. And although these particles are deadly in and of themselves, no one argues, most people know that aluminum is an extremely toxic element. Mercury, we all know, is toxic. When you combine those two metals, and we are inhaling both of them, mercury's in the air from coal-fired power plants and other sources. We have aluminum in the air now, single greatest source of which is climate engineering, period. And it's showing up in tests all over the globe. We have lab tests from all over the globe. We're not theorizing, hypothesizing, or this is not conjecture. When you combine those two metals, in the case of mercury and aluminum, the toxicity can go up as much as 10,000%, 100 times worse. None of these articles say that. And of course, they won't mention aluminum. They won't mention climate engineering has been, oh, by the way, ongoing for 70 years. Moving on with this Rolling Stones report. With the bulk of human-emitted aerosols lingering in the atmosphere, worsening their impact on our health, the result is a, quote, devil's bargain. Aerosols help moderate rising temperatures, but they are also killing us. Now, that statement is not true either. The part that they're killing us is true. Yes, that's true. But helping to moderate rising temperatures, data does not support that conclusion. This is the Rolling Stones' attempt to covertly sell climate engineering by stating that these aerosols are the only thing saving us. As I've been over in other broadcasts, there are individuals in academia that are saying exactly the same thing. And it's inexcusable for them to state that when, one, they are not stating the single greatest source of those highly toxic aerosols. They're not stating the elements we're talking about, like aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, and they're not stating the negative effect of those aerosols. Some deflection of daytime high temperatures, but at what cost? Trapping more heat than they deflect, destroying the ozone layer, being a single greatest causal factor for the epic forest fires, which are radically fueling the planetary meltdown. So this is in essence, this Rolling Stone piece is in essence like the pharmaceutical commercials we see. Here's a new product for this particular symptom that may hide the symptom, but here's the list of consequences. And any rational person that listens to those list of consequences, I can't imagine people take these pharmaceuticals. I can't imagine. And it's worse by the day. Every new pharmaceutical commercial you see, the list of consequences is bigger and longer and more shocking. We're living in an asylum. And this is the same mentality on a global scale. And the covert selling of this sort of solution by the Rolling Stone, in this case. The report continues. According to a new study, we might be locked in this deadly embrace. Research by an international team of scientists recently published in the journal Geophysical Research Letters says that the cooling effect of aerosols is so large that it has masked as much as half of the warming effect from greenhouse gases. So aerosols can't be wiped out. Take them away and temperatures would soar overnight. Again, covertly selling climate engineering. And what they refer to is in the 2 days after 9/11, when flights were canceled over the U.S., daytime temperatures went up and nighttime temperatures went down. And that's used as an example for why we must keep the aerosols in the atmosphere. But what's not considered in that study? That if the hydrological cycle, which is being completely derailed by climate engineering, is allowed to fully resume, and the planet's own cloud-making ability was allowed to resume, and without climate engineering destroying the planet's attempt to respond by, one, destroying the ozone layer, which then intense UV kills plankton. Plankton's responsible for marine layer cloud-making, so that's one method by which geoengineering thwarts the planet's ability to make its own clouds. Climate engineering is the single greatest source for forest die-off and forest burn-down. Forests also major factor with cloud production. Climate engineering from every imaginable direction is derailing the planet's life support systems, and yet we have this very simplistic pharmaceutical industrial mentality approach that Rolling Stone is using and some in academia are using to sell us the lie that the only thing saving us from immediate demise is all the toxic garbage in our skies, intentionally sprayed there by a military-industrial complex that is completely invested in modifying the climate for many purposes, not just hiding the severity of climate collapse, but also weather as a weapon, ionizing the atmosphere to make it more electrically conductive for EMP offense and defense, over-the-horizon communications. There are many, many layers to this issue, but all of them pushing us toward near-term certain demise. And for the so-called journalists at Rolling Stone that are, in essence, doing the bidding of the power structure by covertly selling climate engineering, it's inexcusable. I want to cover a bit more of this report. So the report says this: turns out we have been unwittingly geoengineering for decades, and just like in the movies, it's gone off the rails. Again, what a blatant, glaring lie. Unwittingly geoengineering. And they try to inch closer and closer to the public accepting what's going on in our skies, but I would argue they were never going to come out openly. We have to force this out into the open because the liability issue created from 70 years of climate engineering is incalculable. The amount of people that's been directly and indirectly responsible for killing is incalculable. More of the report. Instead of geoengineering being a last-ditch effort to avert the worst ravages of climate change, it's going to have to be a part of our toolkit to solve the problem. What a blatant, glaring deception that is. Final paragraph in this report. One recent study estimated it would take 6,700 business jet flights per day outfitted with spraying equipment to keep enough aerosols in the atmosphere to cool the climate by 1 degree Celsius. The cost, $20 billion a year. Let's stop there. There's more to this report. Look it up, read it on your own, but let's stop there. So we have the world's most recognized geoengineer, Dr. David Keith, and I don't know that there is a more deceptive, demented individual that I've ever met or come across, someone who is so willing to deceive the entire population. But Dr. David Keith stating on the record the proposal to put 10 million tons of aluminum into the atmosphere annually. You can see him say this, by the way, search Dane Wigington David Keith, where I confronted him at an international conference. Short video, 5 minutes, see him say it on film. Now, Dr. Keith has stated recently on the Stephen Colbert show, some time ago, but it's available online, that only a few jets, I think he says 3 or 4 jets could do this. Well, wait, there's some kind of major contradiction here, isn't there? We have the Rolling Stone telling us it would take 6,700 business flights per day, 6,700 jet flights per day, just to cool the planet by 1 degree Celsius. Now let's look at what frontline polar scientists are telling us on the current course. We may be looking at a 10 to 15 degree sea rise in the next 7 to 8 years. What good would a loss of 1 degree do, even if that was that effective, which it's not? Climate engineering, again, from every conceivable direction, is masking the severity of climate implosion and planetary heating while fueling the fire at the same time. And we have these kinds of publications attempting to covertly push climate engineering to sell it to the public. I want to continue. I have more headlines to cover. University professor condemns the United States military for geoengineering and owning the weather. Dr. Michael Chosadovsky from the University of Ottawa has worked directly with governments on various geopolitical issues and has spoken out against weather modification and the long history of its use. Again, it's not a proposal. It's not we could, may, might do this. It's been ongoing for 70 years. And our population needs to wake up to reality and not be deceived by official sources or publications like Rolling Stone saying, gee, we could, may, might need to do this. This current report about the United States military geoengineering asks this question. Why are we spraying things into our atmosphere without the people being aware of it? Why is this such a secretive issue, it asks. It asks this, why should we not know about it? And this, why is this topic never brought up in the climate change discussion? That's a great question, isn't it? To be clear, there can be no legitimate discussion about the climate or the state of the climate without discussing climate engineering first and foremost, period. And no legitimate discussion about climate engineering without bringing up chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, which is engineering surface cool downs on the planet with chemical ice nucleation elements, causing radical weather whiplash events, derailing the climate, unraveling the climate system. On that note, let's stop for a weather update. The tornado outbreaks. First, though nature can easily spawn tornadoes and hurricanes on our rapidly warming planet, it is imperative to understand that the climate engineers can make or break the kind of tornado events that just devastated parts of the U.S., and that there are predicted to be or scheduled to occur in the coming days more such events. In regard to Winter Storm Scott and Winter Storm Tyler, these are the latest winter weather warfare creations from the climate engineers and their patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Isn't it profound that the vast majority of populations know about and understand that weather modification and cloud seeding programs are real and have gone on for many decades? But when it comes to accepting the fact that governments around the globe have also been intervening in Earth's climate and weather systems for their own purposes and agendas, the majority of the public still refuses to face reality. Let's hope that denial is abandoned for a willingness to actually investigate and face the truth. Another publication that many may want to examine on that note, Fixing the Sky, the Checkered History of Weather and Climate Control. I want to read a statement from that, a quote that's listed in that publication. Conflict over weather control is the likely cause of the last war on Earth. Edward Teller was quoted as stating this. The war over the weather, perhaps the likely cause of the last war on Earth. And we are perilously close to the power structure, likely playing unimaginably big cards. As they cannot hide biosphere collapse from the population, they are becoming increasingly desperate. And as I've pointed out many times, the attempt to pacify the American population, potentially the last great counterbalancing force on the planet, if they would wake up and face reality, especially our military brothers and sisters, to wake up to the fact that they are not being used to fight for freedom and democracy. They are being used as paid mercenaries for a power structure that is completely out of control. That's what the U.S. military is about now. And I'm not stating other countries wouldn't do the same if they had the same power. They would. It's human nature. But it's up to us to evolve past this sort of mentality, this loot, plunder, and pillage mentality. We have to wake the population. That's the only way forward. People ask me over and over and over, what good would that do? What good would it do to wake the population? It's the only way forward. When I started this battle 15 years ago, I only heard my own voice coming back at me. No one listened. And there are others who pioneered this. Will Thomas, in fact, he wrote Chemtrails Confirmed, an excellent book. I know Will very well. He's certainly, I think, should be considered one of the first to break this story, this issue. But when I became involved in this battle 15 years ago, trying to address it from the standpoint of using the science terms and trying to build bridges with the science community so that they would recognize or acknowledge that this is going on. And so few listened. And now, by staying on track with solid data, science terms, and the long process of waking others, now we have people, we have an army of the awakened, if you will, that is growing rapidly. And only with an army of the awakened do we have any chance of exposing and halting this issue. Only by waking others have we been able to form a legal team that is now actively engaged in trying to bring this issue to light. The lawsuit in Canada that's ongoing, our attorneys in the U.S. suing the U.S. Department of Commerce and working to bring this issue to light, they're doing so because they know their future also depends on this. Their children's futures depend on exposing and halting this issue more than any other issue. Not denying our other challenges, but I'm stating this is the issue we must deal with first. This is the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat. And as we awaken more and more people, that's why we have contacts in the military now that didn't know this was going on, that now do. We have contacts in agencies and other locations. As we wake up the population, we build an army of the awakened. And only in doing so can we stop these programs, perhaps from the inside out, as military families wake up, as military members wake up and realize they are literally killing their own, along with the rest of us, that this is not about the greater good. So as I move on through this broadcast, keep that in mind. A critical mass of awakening is a must. It's an absolute must. And for those that are trying to awaken others, starting with letters being written to environmental organizations, I want to focus for a moment on what I received as a response from the Sierra Club, an activist that wrote a letter to the Sierra Club and the National Weather Service, and their response to his attempt to point out climate engineering. Here's from the Sierra Club. Thank you for contacting the Sierra Club. We do not currently have a position on, quote, chemtrails. Of course, they won't use the science terms. They won't. Massive hypocrisy from the environmental circles as a whole. The problem is this. Listen to this carefully. We are an environmental lobbying organization. We encourage conservation of the Earth's resources, protection of wildlands, and support aspects of healthy, efficient environments for people, plants, and animals. Clean air does fall into the spectrum, but at this point, we cannot lobby against this issue, i.e. climate engineering, because it has not been recognized as a, quote, real problem by the U.S. government. How about that? Unless or until the criminal admits to the crimes, the Sierra Club says the crimes don't exist. And that's the position of most environmental organizations. If you're supporting an environmental organization and they are not addressing climate engineering, don't support them, period. The National Weather Service said this, while I understand that the idea of, quote, chemtrails, again, they won't use the science terms, and we must. We need to use the science terms. We are playing chess. We must learn to play chess well. Use the science terms so you can't be marginalized. Climate engineering, geoengineering, solar radiation management. So National Weather Service says, while we understand that the idea of chemtrails is scary, there aren't such things happening. Those trails that you see behind airplanes are contrails. They are just clouds formed by airplanes as they pass through areas of the atmosphere that are saturated with moisture. What a blatant, glaring lie by the cowards that hide in these agencies and the cowards that hide in environmental organizations and that refuse to address the truth. For the record, my consistent focus on climate engineering is not because it's an issue that is particularly interesting to me or that I have a particular propensity to work with. It's because it's the greatest and most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. We must prioritize. We don't deal with this issue. We don't allow the planet to respond to the damage done on its own. We're done. We're done. That's all. That's a statistical and mathematical fact. The single greatest assault against the web of life today is climate engineering. I want to go over a letter from our lead attorney about our FOIAs, our Freedom of Information Act requests. This week, in response to our FOAI FOIA request, NASA, in particular, the Goddard Space Institute Flight Center, has informed us that they have no records regarding UVC. UVC is a very lethal band of UV radiation, by the way. It's the last spectrum of UV radiation before X-ray. We're told it stops 100,000 feet up in the atmosphere. That's a lie. GeoengineeringWatch.org has been metering UVC on the surface for over 5 years. Our attorney continues with this. As a result, we're very interested in obtaining data, documents, and information from NASA regarding monitoring for UVC. We requested documents from NASA. NASA is now telling us officially that it does not have a single document on UVC. We suspect this is inaccurate because we know from NASA's website that NASA monitors UV radiation. NASA's own website draws the following conclusion. After 30 years of satellite data, NASA has found that the amount of ultraviolet UV radiation reaching Earth's surface has increased markedly over the last three decades. These results were published in the Journal of Geophysical Research. Our attorney finishes with this. The idea that NASA is not monitoring for UV radiation and does not have any idea or even a single document concerning UVC, including any documentation even mentioning UVC, is either a dereliction of duty or a blatant attempt to shirk their responsibility to be open and transparent to the public about the amount of UVC reaching the surface of Earth. NASA has a duty to monitor for UVC, and we have a right to know how much UVC we are being exposed to and whether we are increasingly being exposed to greater levels of UVC. Rest assured, we will continue to press NASA for information and report back. This is from our lead attorney, Julio Gonzalez. My deepest thanks to him. Bottom line is we are working as hard as we can behind the scenes to deal with an immense system that has been designed for decades to hide threats from the public, not to disclose them. Back to the critical mass. While we're working behind the scenes as hard as we can at geoengineeringwatch.org with our legal team and our efforts, all of us are needed to help raise awareness, to help increase the size of our army of the awakened, to wake others up in every arena that would join this battle if they understood their futures, their children's future, depend more than any other issue on this issue, to expose and stop the climate engineering insanity, which is decimating the entire web of life. Headlines from around the globe, I'll cover a few as fast as I can to give an idea of what's happening on the front lines. From the UK Guardian and other sources, more news on the incineration of the land down under. Australia, four bushfires merge in Victoria into an out-of-control blaze. Homes burning down. It's much like what was happening here over the summer. Not just here. Many people even that were in California or the U.S. and were caught up in all the fires didn't realize it was happening in Sweden, Finland, Norway, Siberia, Canada, Alaska, British Columbia, all over the globe, happening in the Southern Hemisphere now. Another headline. This is from the UK Guardian and other sources also. The whole thing is unraveling. Climate change is reshaping Australia's forests. Again, no mention of climate engineering, which in the case of the forest and the forest dying and the forest burn downs is the single greatest factor. And that is not saying it's the only factor. For those that continue to misquote me in that manner, saying that I say climate engineering is the only problem with the climate. I've never, ever said that. That is not true. I would never say it. I'm simply saying it's the single greatest destructive factor, period, and it must be acknowledged. From this report from The Guardian, again, that the whole thing is unraveling. It says droughts, heat waves, bushfires, and rising temperatures are driving ecosystems toward collapse. They are collapsing. There's no driving them toward collapse. It's not could, may, might. They are collapsing. I have too much to cover. I'm running out of time. I need to fast forward to just how bad is it? Let's ask that question, how bad is it? How dire is the threat from the unfolding climate and biosphere collapse? Consider this new report from ArcticNewsBlogspot.com. And in regards to this source, we have to sift the baby from the bathwater because this same source also pushes climate engineering as a potential mitigation, which obviously we know is a quote, cure worse than the disease. But this is frontline polar scientists and their assessments based on current data. A rise of 18 degrees C or 32 degrees Fahrenheit by 2026? They're asking this question. And this is from their report. A catastrophe of unimaginable proportions is unfolding. Life is disappearing from Earth, and all life could be gone within one decade. Study after study showing the size of the threat are showing the size of the threat, yet many people seem to hide what we're facing. In the Arctic alone, four tipping points look to be crossed within a few years. Number one, the loss of Arctic sea ice's ability to act as a buffer to absorb incoming ocean heat. Two, the loss of Arctic sea ice's ability to reflect sunlight back into space. Three, destabilization of sediments on the seafloor of the Arctic Ocean that regards methane release. And four, permafrost melt. Crossing these tipping points triggers a number of feedbacks that kick in at accelerating speed. Bottom line, feedback loops, runaway warming scenario, climate engineering in the attempt to mask that, actually fueling the fire. How hot will it really get and how fast? No one knows for certain. But the bottom line is we are on the wrong course. We must change course completely, and that starts with awakening the population. Another headline from India's Supreme Court orders eviction of 1 million forest dwellers. There's disruptions happening all over the globe that are all directly related to biosphere implosion. I'm going to have to skip that report look it up if you want to read further. Bottom line is, as biosphere implosion accelerates, and in this case, India and Pakistan, the conflict between these two, will such a conflict possibly be used by those in power to trigger a nuclear exchange so that a nuclear winter might help to hide or mask the severity of what's unfolding? Is that what the power structure sees as a potential mitigation now? Because they're flying countless jets around the globe every day, spewing particles into the sky, and have been doing so for 70 years and manipulating those particles with radio frequency transmissions. And obviously it's not getting better, is it? It's never been about making it better. It's been about masking the severity of what's unfolding and countless other agendas. And sickening populations is one of those agendas because, let's face facts, a sickened, dumbed down, cognitively dysfunctional population is much easier to control, as I've been over again and again and again. And we know from former presidential advisors like Zbigniew Brzezinski that this is part of the agenda. Who stated on the record, Brzezinski, it's easier with today's technology to kill a million people than it is to control them. What kind of future do you think we're heading for? The writing is on the wall. On that note, I want to quickly go through a report from contraryperspective.com. Though not new, it is more relevant now than ever. The report is titled, quote, On Standing Armies. Armies always claim self-defense. They don't like to admit to being the aggressor. It is always, quote, the other guy who started it. Of course, this is absurd. Somebody's had to start it. But self-defense is the lie that makes aggressive wars possible by making standing armies acceptable to decent people. Has there ever been any army that did not claim that God was on its side? But you have to have a standing army, the argument goes, just in case the other guy attacks. And the other guy uses the same argument against you. It works both ways. Standing armies, said Immanuel Kant, are the cause of aggressive wars. Armies created under the guise of defense very easily become offensive armies without even realizing it. All it takes is a little fear-mongering propaganda. Once you have standing armies, somebody is going to want to use them. Aggressive elements within the armed state will try to use their armies for their own ends. Has there ever been any army that was not used? Name one. All that power has to go somewhere. Once you have an all-powerful standing army, who or what is to keep it in check? Armies are about killing people and destroying things. They always have been and always will be. Standing armies are like carnivorous beasts that have to kill to stay alive, to stay in fighting trim, to stay relevant. If there are no enemies, armies have to find them or create them. Standing armies are provocative both internally and externally. They provoke other nations to arm. And then you have an arms race. People like to do what they've been trained to do. If you train people to kill, they will want to kill. A sailor on the carrier Nimitz regretted that on his last cruise, he did not get a chance to drop any bombs. After all that ordnance training, he said, what a waste not to be able to use it. In America, we hear constantly about the, quote, Defense Department, spending Secretary of Defense, etc. But isn't this all propaganda? Quote, defense spending does not defend the American homeland. It defends only the plunder of plutocrats and predatory corporations. Who are the enemies demonized so persistently in American media? Most are freedom fighters resisting American military trespass in their countries. What then is the answer? Clearly, a line must be drawn between offense and defense, and that line must never be crossed. Imperialism must be recognized and renounced. There is nothing defensive about it, and there never will be. The insane asylum we find ourselves in and the ambivalence of many around us can be overwhelming. But consider this quote from Albert Camus. In the midst of hate, I find there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all, in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. No matter how hard the world pushes against me, within me there is something stronger, something better, pushing back. Conclusion, we must keep our compass heading and keep our correct course through it all. The challenges we collectively face are not going to magically go away. Any future we may yet have will depend on what we do or don't do. We must ask ourselves why we are here. We must ask ourselves what matters and what doesn't. All who are awake and aware are needed to help sound the alarm, to help us reach a critical mass of awareness, to wake American citizens up to what their own government and other governments are spraying into our skies without the knowledge or consent of their own populations, along with countless other crimes that are occurring today. Share credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.